There's only one, really one message for communion, and that's Psalms 22, because it says it all. It was His words on the cross, and they never grow old. So, with the word of wisdom from our Father, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. He that became our Passover for one and all times, only He that was worthy, that He loved you so much that He gave it all, and yet at the same time stayed with you and is with you even today, that you can counsel with Him, visit with Him, talk to Him, because He really loves you. He cares. He cares about you, everything that happens to you. And never fail to let Him know that you appreciate that. Because this is how it happened. That day that He had been deserted, all but the women that went to a hill nearby, and He sent John home with his mother. You know, so we can't really hold John chargeable because He told him to take her home. But He's alone, all alone, doing this for you. Pay strict attention to the words that were spoken by the chief priest and even people as they passed by, because you're going to find out that they were prophesied 1,000 years before, documenting to you that God's word is true. Okay, chapter 27 of Matthew. Let's pick it up with verse 41. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking Him with the scribes and elders, said. Now, you know, usually you think of the chief priest as one that would honor the Son of God, but that's how it goes. He saved others. Himself He cannot save. If He be King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. Well, hey, you know what? He could have done it, but where would that leave you? Where would that leave me? And He didn't think of Himself. He thought of you. And He thought of me, and I will document to you that He was thinking of you at the end of Psalms 22. 43, He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now if He will have Him, for He said, I am the Son of God. All in mockery. 44, the thieves also, which were crucified with Him, cast the same in His teeth. However, we know that there was one that converted. And Jesus would say to him, this day I will see you in paradise. 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. From about 12 to 3 p.m., you know, I would have, had you been there, you would have probably thought, this is quite unusual. I wonder how many really noticed it. 46, and about the ninth hour, about 3 p.m., Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now you know, and I know, that many people say, yes, it was because He took our sins upon Himself that God turned His back on Him for a moment, forsook Him. That's ridiculous. What was His name? Emmanuel, which is to say, God with us. Any of you ever turned your back on yourself? I'd like to see it. I really would, okay? Excuse me. Now, of course, He was teaching you, thinking of you, and teaching so that you would know, hey, You see, number one, as you're his as a child of God, you know that Jesus never called God God. He called him Father. Always called him Father. So he's quoting Scripture, teaching while he is nailed to that cross for you and teaching to you so that you would know. As these bitter words would come forth from that priest's mouth, and we'll believe you if you'll come down. So you will believe when you read that he that was dying for you on that cross was teaching you at the same time. Psalms 22. And Psalms 22, verse 1 reads, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. At least that's what it reads in the Hebrew. Because that's what he said. Being interpreted, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Question, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? In other words, David, from that stem of Jesse, that line through which Yeshua, Jesus, would come, was present on that cross, again, I emphasize, doing this for you. Sometimes it doesn't hurt if one might say, am I really worth that? Am I worth it? Well, you know that all of us have to say, not really. But he thinks you are because he loves you. He sees you as your heart really is. He knows that you're tempted at times and he knows you fall at times. But he knows you mean well because he can see that part of you. Not like a man that judges you by what he thinks, because he can really see the workings of your mind and feel them. So, in doing this, he lets you know that I am that offspring, that stem from Jesse, and I'm paying this price for you. And then he continues, and these were the words of his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather on the mother's side, Mary, okay? Verse 2, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, I'm not silent. I don't get any rest. And old David at that time wasn't. Some of you don't. Put yourself in that position where you cry out, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. If you will trust him, if you will listen to his teachings, you'll never be confused. You will always know the direction in which to turn, the path to take. There will not be a fork in the road that prayerfully in seeking that he will not guide you in. He's wonderful. Verse 6, David again, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of people. This is a crimson worm that was even used in dyes. It was red, crimson. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, 8, mark the words I told you to. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. That old priest would later say, I don't know why I said those words the day of the crucifixion. He said them because it was prophecy, and God's prophecy always comes to pass exactly as it's written. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I like this because it shows how your heavenly Father, from the womb, I'll even go further than that, even before you entered the womb, our Father loved you, knew you, probably even pampered you a little bit, if you deserved it. And this is to say that he keeps close track. He keeps score. And I don't mean to use score in the sense of good and bad, but really that's what it amounts to. Doesn't hurt to try to clean that old page up every once in a while, and that's what he was paying for at this time, was so he could just take the big eraser and go, hey, boy, I got him back to number one. Doing good, all right? I cannot express enough his personal acquaintance and love for you, that he does care. It makes it so much easier serving him, pleasurably serving him, when you just reach out and take that tender touch from him. When you need it, that touch that strengthens you and makes you a champion in this earth age, even in these flesh bodies. He cares about from the infant on, in other words, 10. I was cast upon thee from the womb, thou art my God, from my mother's belly. You can believe that, put legs on it and understand. When all you could do was go, wah, wah, he cared, all right? He cared how you whacked, all right? It's hard for an old man to sound like an infant, huh? 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. And look at Christ on the cross. That's prophecy. It was that way. It came to pass. You can believe it, too. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. And of course, Bashan was known for those huge beasts. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. You know, wasn't easy, but he didn't complain. Did not complain. Why? He's teaching. He was strong. And he wanted you to know that every one of these verses documents that he was on that cross for you, fulfilling a promise by God that it would be so, that there would be a sacrificial lamb. Just as God provided a ram in the place of Isaac when Abraham took him up on Moriah. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. You ever had your old mouth stuck to the sides of your jaws? Yeah. Well, his really did. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For the flesh. Okay. Flesh only. For dogs, that is to say enemies, have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And there he was exactly 1,000 years before. And there he hangs on that cross for you. And you have the word of God from 1,000 years before that it came to pass exactly that way on that day, which documents to you that the book of Revelation and all the prophecies concerning that that is yet future shall come to pass exactly as it's written at the fixed time as God would have it, is how it shall be. That's why you can always be so sure. When you're with him, God is always going to have his way when it comes to fulfilling prophecy. Well, I got so excited I flipped a page. Whoa, but that just really, you know, when you think of what he did for us in actuality, it's awesome. Really, really awesome. 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. He didn't really mind, but they did. They mocked. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That's the one that really nails it when I was a young man studying. That really nailed it for me. I thought, man, even the Roman soldiers, because I knew how soldiers were. I knew how they liked to throw the galloping dominoes, you know, and they're down there after that robe 1,000 years before. And there they were, doing exactly what he said they would do. Boy, doesn't that strengthen you? Because those things that your enemies are going to do to you, they are written. And you can know beforehand what you must attain to be the victor. Makes it so easy, so simple. But let your love go to him that was able to do this for you. You know, there might be some pretty tough old Christians that might say, hey, I think I could do it. There'd just be one problem if we thought we could ever get the courage up, we could do it for everybody else. We're not perfect. And he was. That makes the difference. Okay? And he continues. But he be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. He always does. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling. That's my soul instead of darling. From the power of the dog, that enemy. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. Now you know to scratch that word unicorn. It's not in the manuscripts. It's wild ox. There's no such thing as a unicorn. Mythology has its own way of working its way in. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And this is quoting, if you would, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, giving the reason he came to this earth in the flesh, to die on the cross, showing you that, hey, it's no big deal. God also came in the flesh. And he did it. He went out of the flesh on this cross. For you, all at that time, you can read that, those very same words, Hebrews chapter 2, the purpose being, of course, to destroy Satan, who is the devil. Death, rather, who is the devil. 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, revere, is what it should be. All ye the seed of Israel. All people, because in spirit you become that seed when you love him. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. Listen, don't you ever be so weak that you would doubt on some dark night. Oh, God, just hear me. He does. You don't have to say, I know you won't hear me. He does. You may not deserve an answer, but trust me, he does hear. He knows you. He hears you. So what does that mean? Well, when it feels like the thing you want to do, when you feel he isn't hearing, maybe somebody needed this. This isn't part of this. When you think he's not answering you, repent. Instantly. Get the eraser out of him. Make him take his eraser out and clean that sheet by your name. Because there might be something there that he's wanting you to fess up and repent of before he's going to talk to you. So, how else can I say that? There's nothing wrong with him, but there just could be something wrong with you. All right? In the book. Might need a little scratching out, all right? So start there and then thank him for having forgiven you. All right, we just throw, that's not part of the whatever. Okay, let's go on. 25, my praise shall be of thee and the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear thee. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. That's the humble. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Your mind shall live forever. Why? It's the intellect of your soul. At the ends of the world, all rather the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. Every knee shall bow on that day. For the kingdom is the Lord's. And he is the governor among the nations. He's in charge. Do you know something? His words, all souls belong to me. It's God's words. All souls belong to me. So whether you want to follow him or not, he's got the title deed to your soul to do with as he chooses. It's all his. It's really bought and paid for. It's his to do with as he sees fit. And he's very fair. Okay? Verse 29. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. Meaning, it's his, all right. But he's the only one that can keep it alive. You can't. Now, you can make the decisions and the choices to guarantee that it will, but that's up to you. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. My friend, you happen to live in that generation. That's to say, the generation of the fig tree. Make your choices and make them well. This is why I say he was thinking of you, even on the cross, because this is that generation, and he's got each one of your numbers. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this, or the equivalent in the Greek is, it is finished. His last words on the cross. So I feel he delivered the entire Psalm 22, because he loves you, because he wanted you to be reassured that he does care. And even as he was carrying that cross up that steep path to Golgotha, with the blood dripping from his forehead, from the crown of thorns, he said, the day shall come, weep not for me, daughters of Jerusalem, for the day shall come when blessed will be the barren, meaning the generation that doesn't wed itself to the false Messiah. That's you. He was thinking of you. You should in turn think of him. And I know you do. I know you do, but just a little reminder here as we come to the table. He thinks a great deal of you. He may not like what you do, but boy, does he love you. I'm talking genuine, real, 100% love, compassion, and understanding, because he gave his life for you, that you would have this opportunity. So, as we go forth and as we come together every year at this time for this very special occasion, he became our Passover. This is our Passover. This forces Satan to have to pass you over because you have the truth in your mind and the strength to withstand anything that he would want to bring against you. No contest. God's people, sealed and locked. He's really good to us. Now, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take ye and eat ye all of it." Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. That body that took the stripes and we received the healings, both spiritually and physically, Father. Father, touch those that are making intercessory requests for healing at this time. Touch. Thank you, Father, for being our Father. It's such a pleasure to be able to serve you. We thank you in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Amen. Soon after, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my blood that is shed for many. Take ye and drink ye all of it." Oh, precious Heavenly Father, as the sins roll back and that new day of repentance begins, Father, let these all be a blessing to whomsoever they come in contact with, Father. Oh, Father, it's such a pleasure serving you. Touch each of these homes. Mend any part of any of these homes that needs mending, Father. Touch it. Weld it together. Family is so important in this world, Father, where families are mean so many different things to so many different people. And we know the family that you intended, and we thank you so much for blessing all the families of your election, Father. Touch, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen.